Please turn to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25, verses 11 through 12. As we confess our sins, we'll look to the Word of God once again. Verse 11 of chapter 25 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear." This is the Word of God. Well, we all know that it takes a tremendous amount of wisdom to say the right thing at the right time to the right person in the right place. It's very difficult to do that. We're all painfully aware of this fact because we've all had very unfitting words that we've spoken. Every single one of us know the feeling of saying the wrong thing. Sometimes the right description of that would be awkward. That's a common description that would fit saying the wrong thing. Sometimes a better description would be hurtful or even devastating. That's what happens when we say the wrong thing sometimes, brothers and sisters. We can hurt with our words. We can devastate somebody with our words when we say the unfitting thing at the wrong time. And so this proverb teaches us that it takes a lot of wisdom to get the right word spoken, to tune the language and speak it in a fitting way at the right time. Words that are spoken that have unfitting place are very damaging. But on the other hand, it says in this proverb that a word fitly spoken, rightly spoken, is an incredibly beautiful thing. It says it's like apples of gold in the setting of silver. Take something beautiful and valuable and then add on something beautiful and valuable on top of that. And that's what it's like when that fitting word is spoken. It also gives us the second image in the verse 12. It's when you say a fitting word and then somebody receives that fitting word, that's also a beautiful thing. That is language working like it was supposed to. It's language that leads to truth. It leads to edification. It leads to love. That's the kind of language that we want flowing. We want fitting words being spoken, and we want fitting words being received by one another, don't we? When you have to choose what to say, you have to consider four key things. Number one, the content. Is what I'm going to say true? Is it right? That's the first thing. Secondly, time. Is it the right time to say this? Thirdly, the place. Is this the right place or the right context to say this? And then fourthly, the person. Is this the right person to say this to? All of those have to be factored in as you bring your words to somebody else. I want to give you an example from the New Testament where it actually teaches us that we have to differentiate who we're speaking to and how we speak to them. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Here Paul in 1 Thessalonians speaks about how there's different people, different groups in the body of Christ, and they need a different kind of word spoken to them depending on who they are. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Paul says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with them all." Notice, every person needs a different kind of word, depending on who they are, what their situation is. You don't comfort the unruly in their behavior. You don't rebuke the faint-hearted. Different kinds of people need different kinds of words. You must know the person that you're speaking to, don't you? You must know what they need at that time. Each of us could easily despair of ever saying a word in season and we just say, forget it. It's just safer not to say anything. That's not an option, is it? This is a command, brothers and sisters. We have to do these things. We can't choose to not speak a word lest we disobey the word of God. And so we must speak, and we must speak with wisdom. And I know it's hard. It's hard for each of us to speak that fitting word. We're very good at finding the wrong thing to say. That comes very naturally to us. But to speak the fitting word is very difficult. But by God's grace, we can learn to use our words to build up, to communicate grace to one another. Now, I want to give us a couple of goals on the path to reforming conversation, because since it takes wisdom to speak the fitting word, I can't give you the rules to always determine that, right? There's too many situations that require a lot of wisdom, a lot of prayer to say the fitting word. So I'm not here to tell you all of the criteria to determine your fitting word. But there are three things that I think will help you on the path to speaking more fitting words to one another. So these are the three things. Number one, let us seek to draw our conversations back to God's word. I am increasingly aware of how so many of my own conversations are scripture-less, absent of the Word of God. And if the Word of God is my daily bread and it's God's tool to grow my brother or sister into the likeness of Christ, then I can use nothing better than the Word of God to communicate truth and to speak a fitting word to my brother or sister. And so, not all of Scripture is equally fitting in every conversation, right? You have to know which Scripture to bring out still. But you are on the right path when you use the Word of God to communicate truth, to speak a fitting word in that time of need. Secondly, let all of our conversations be done with gentleness and patience. Remember what 1 Thessalonians 5:14 said, be patient with them all. That's the universal, right? You have to know who you're speaking to, but you have to be patient with everybody. You have to communicate gentleness with everybody. That is the rule. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Thirdly, let us seek to affirm and encourage one another with truthful words. And what I'm referring to here particularly is that we need to build each other up by pointing to God's good work in each other. It is often a very fitting word to encourage your brother or sister. That's maybe a 90 or a 95% probability that that will be a safe thing to say. Sometimes you need to rebuke somebody, and encouraging them may not be the best thing. But most of the time we fail to affirm and encourage as we should. And this glorifies God. It does. When we acknowledge the good things that God has done in one another, we build each other up, we praise God, we encourage our brother and sister in what they're doing that is good. I don't think we often realize how important an encouraging word can be. You can make somebody's day with an encouraging word. You can lift somebody out of the mud and the morass of sadness or difficulty or depression by speaking an encouraging word. Words of life, not false things, but true things. Speak truth. Point to what God has done. Point to what is true in this person. As I look at the Gospels, I'm always amazed by the complete perfection with which our Lord spoke. Jesus knew how to apply 1 Thessalonians 5:14. To the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, he had no problem saying that they were whitewashed tombs, blind guides, hypocrites, serpents, broods of vipers. That's hard to say. But it was dead on. It was exactly what they needed to hear. It was a word in season. It was a fitting word to be spoken. And yet, Jesus also knew how to bind up the wounds of the weak. He knew how to help the brokenhearted. In Matthew 12, the prophecy of Isaiah is quoted where it says that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. For us, we come to the situation of rebuke and we hold back. We can't say this is the true thing. It's hard. And then when it comes to the bruised reed, we can crush them so easily. And yet our Lord knew how to temper his words with perfect wisdom. And so we must grow into the likeness of Christ to speak the word in season, to speak the fitting word that is needful for that particular person. And so this morning we confess that we have not always exercised gentleness. We have not encouraged one another in the things that we need to. And we have not spoken the fitting word many times. We've sinned with our mouths in failing to speak this word, and we've hurt with our words rather than building up. And so I invite you to confess your sins this morning. As we enter this time of confession, you do not have to only confess this. We have this time of confession so that you can come to the throne of grace, confess whatever you need to confess, and receive God's mercy, because we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do ask for your forgiveness through Christ, our mediator. We ask that you would forgive us for our foolish, hurtful, and misplaced words. Teach us, O Lord, how to speak fitting words, that we would better know what to say in the needful time to speak, and that we would not hold back from speaking that fitting word. Pray that you would transform our words, that they would be filled with biblical truth, that they would be done with gentleness and patience, and that we would learn how to encourage and affirm one another and glorify you through this. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.